Hello and good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It's Monday, April 8th, 2024. Our catechesis this week resumes with some of the post-resurrection or some of the resurrection stories and the post-resurrection appearances, focusing on the ones that we've actually heard, but we'll do so in a more catechetical way now this week. That's for the sake of the children, of course, who are resuming classes this day. All right, so let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. Our psalm this week was our psalm from yesterday. Hopefully you caught the reason. I mean, with the antiphon, verse 6, the connection then to Ezekiel 37 in the Valley of Dry Bones and the breath being commanded. I don't think I actually taught it exactly that way when we went through Ezekiel, but Ezekiel is called throughout the Son of Man, and so is Jesus. I've always taken that as a reference to Daniel, but what Ezekiel does in Ezekiel 37 at the word of the Lord as a prophet is exactly what Jesus will do for us on the last day. He'll speak to the bones, and the bones will come together, and sinews and flesh and skin and breath. The Spirit would blow on us, and we'll be restored as Adam was created from the dust, and God's breath was breathed into him to give him life, so we will be on the day of resurrection. Anyway, that's in verse 6. So that's your connection here in the psalm. Creation and redemption go together. Creation, redemption, and resurrection, I should say, all go together. So we pray. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, our verse for the week. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. This is what Luther calls the blessed exchange, or we might call it the sweet salvation swap, as I like to call it, the sweet salvation swap. I got that from a friend of mine, right? Or the blessed exchange. We get all that is his, and he takes all that is ours. This is more so on his giving up of what is his to us, but of course, the inverse is true. He takes our poverty, he takes our suffering, our death, takes our sin into himself. All right. And then from the table of duties, we're resuming that. well, let's see, last we heard what hearers owe their pastor, before that, what for preacher, bishops, preachers, and pastors. And now we'll have civil government this weekend next. So here, Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Right? Not a popular text from Scripture, especially for those of us who live with more or less unjust government, that is a government that rebels against God's word and against God himself then. What's interesting, as we heard yesterday from Colossians chapter 1, is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Actually, that was the sermon on Saturday, wasn't it? That all things exist in Christ and are made through him and by him and are held together for him. Implication being that even an unjust civil government is used by God as an agent of wrath, as he says there at the end, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer, right? A wrongdoer can be heard in a double sense. Are we talking about just moral wrongdoing, unethical wrongdoing, you know, wrong before the neighbor? Or are we talking about doing good and doing wrong before God, right, according to his standard of justice? So unjust government, as we would esteem it or as we would judge it, which I think is it's certainly the case more or less with our current civic rule and regime, it's far more oppressive and totalitarian than even the Roman government that Paul knew in Romans 13. In that case, why would God allow such a thing to happen? That's the question, right? And it's always, he always brings his wrath upon wrongdoing. It's always for the sake of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. So I think this is the problem with civil authority. We think of it as not an agent of God. But notice throughout the entire expression here, what God has established, what God has instituted, what God's servant, right? God. And we ask them, well, what does God want from us? He wants repentance, that we would trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That is faith, right? So how would he use civil government for the sake of faith? Ah, you see, put not your trust in rulers, they are but mortal. Earthbound they are, and soon they decay, as we sing, right? So we put maybe far too much confidence in civic government. And we forget that God even uses the civic government for the sake of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. We discussed that, of course, with COVID. That was certainly during the pandemic. That was certainly one of the lessons that we learned, is that we put far too much trust in civil health authorities to guide our actions and what we would do, even as they were telling us how to worship God in truth and purity. Right? Okay. There's much more that could be said about Romans 13 in particular. You should also always read Romans 13 in context. So go back a few chapters, maybe back to chapter 6, 7, and 8 even, and also read forward. What comes immediately after this? All right. So enough on civil government. Let's speak of the resurrection. Our first reading is from Job 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that they were engraved on a rock with iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Job 19, verses 23 through 27. So one of the most profound confessions of the resurrection, and it's in the midst of great suffering, pain, and loss. And that's the case of Job. And yet there he is confessing the resurrection of the body. Beautiful, right? Do you not know that it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached to all nations beginning in Jerusalem? Yes, we ought to have known. But we're not very good listeners or readers, right? So here we are. Mark 16. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man, clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And there ends the short ending of Mark. Lovely. They were afraid. So we have the eyewitnesses, and here three are named. We have Mary Magdalene, right? Also Mary, the mother of James. That would be James the Lesser, I think. And then Salome, who's the mother of the sons of Zebedee, the wife of Zebedee, right? James and John. These are, of course, his eyewitnesses of his, both of his suffering and his death. These were the women that were at the cross, right? Let's pull up my Bible software here. Oh, I closed it. I got to reopen it. I think just right in the previous chapter, Mark 15. Where do we go? Here we are. It's jumping all over my screen. Mark 15, probably towards the end. And he sent away the multitude. Oh, no. It's Matthew 15. Mark 15. There we go. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and Joses, and Salome. All right, so there you go, James the Less, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So much like with the apostles, we have the 12 named, but there are many more. Same here with the women. We have three named, but there are many more. Also later on, when evening had came, they watched Joseph of Arimathea handle the body of Jesus and lay him to rest, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. So Salome's not listed there, but the two Marys laid. Well, this all goes quite a bit to help. I mean, the narrative is quite consistent to help, or the fact that they knew the weight and the difficulty of moving the stone. Back, 2 weeks ago, I think I posted, maybe it was during Holy Week, I posted a video breaking down the different burial practices in first century Palestine, first century Israel and Jerusalem. And you might go back and find that. I posted it on our Facebook page. Which kind of stone is this? Is this one that's round like a millstone and it's rolled in a channel? Or is it more of a round stone? It actually doesn't matter so much as it's too heavy for these women to lift or to move. All right. When did they go to the tomb? It says here, very early in the morning on the first day of the week when the Sabbath is passed. All right. So Sabbath would be our Saturday. That would end at sunset on our Saturday. So the first day of the week begins at sunset. And so this was yet very early on that day, which would be for us Sunday, sometime between midnight and daybreak. And of course, they get there as the sun has risen. Actually, the day is already half spent at this point. Is that right? Sunrise? Yeah. From sunset to sunrise. Correct. And when did they go? Or why did they go out? It says here to anoint Jesus. That's an interesting note, isn't it? Because remember what Jesus said about the woman with the alabaster flask, which may have been Mary Magdalene, right? He had anointed him for burial. So there we are. He had already been anointed before. No need to anoint him again. But so they want to do. Joseph of Arimathea had done it in some haste before, just basically just wrapped him in linen. Yeah, that's what it says back in chapter 15. All right. So they asked the question, who will roll away the stone for us from the tomb? No need to go all Marvel superhero and imagine that these women are as strong as the men. We were watching just to do something together yesterday. We were watching the women's national championship game, college national championship game yesterday. And my children I don't know if they've ever watched women's basketball, but they were really kind of astounded at how differently the game is played compared to the men. So I had to remind them that we live as Christians in a pre-modern worldview, especially what we call modern today, which for a while there they called it postmodern. I call it most modern. But in any case, where like men and women are equal, and right, and there's no distinction between men and women, which physiologically is not true. Certainly, like if you recovered a set of bones from a tomb, You could tell immediately whether it was a man or a woman just based off the hips, right? So whether they God had made them to carry a child or not in a womb. But in any case, here there's no we have no shame as Christians in acknowledging that these women was beyond their physical capability of rolling the stone, and they even say as much. All right. Now there's another reason why this is mentioned, or maybe at least two that come to mind. The stone that's sealed in back in Daniel chapter 6, well, there's your hint with Daniel. A stone was used to seal the lion's den and the assured death as Daniel would be devoured by those lions. Of course, God shut up the mouths of the lions, and even though he was sealed in the tomb, it could not hold him. A lovely picture of Christ in the grave. The grave could not hold him. All right, so that one, that's pretty obvious, maybe. Now that I bring it to your attention, the less obvious is the key here is the women and the stone. In the ancient world, you would actually seal wells with a stone. And here you have Jacob's well, right? Well, it comes to be known as Jacob's well. But when he goes to the well, or it's Rachel, I should say, with her flock. Notice she's a shepherdess, which is cool. And Laban, this is Laban's daughter, which is of his household. And let's see, she's coming. This is in Genesis 29. His daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. And then he said, look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them. But he said, we cannot until the flocks are gathered together. And here's the key. They have rolled the stone from the well's mouth. Then we will water the sheep. All right? So who will roll away the stone for us? This is Rachel's question too. And while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well of the mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. That would be his uncle, right? Mother's brother. Yeah, uncle. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So who will roll away the stone? Jacob does, or our Jacob. That's an interesting connection, isn't it? Because we also have Jesus talking about himself being the source of living waters. Of course, the women discover that the stone has already been rolled away. Yeah, and what do they find in the grave instead? A young man dressed in white robe, sitting on the right side. Now, I think Mark is being quite intentional here. He doesn't have two, he has one. He's drawing our attention to the young man from the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that Jesus was betrayed just a few days previous. Do you remember that young man who fled naked, right, in the garden? And now he appears clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, right, with the white garments of salvation. Isn't that beautiful? He's also sitting at the right hand. Right hand would be significant because Jesus would sit at the right hand of God before the disciples were to go out and preach the gospel, which is a sign of Christ having all authority in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, an authority that he always had from creation, before creation, I should say, from eternity, but now exercised in his triumph over sin, death, and hell for us, right? And that actually comes in the longer ending in chapter 16, just a few verses later, verse 19. So notice the reaction of the women. They are afraid and alarmed, or it says they were alarmed, and to which the man says, the young man offers comfort. Do not be alarmed, right? Of course, this is, do not fear. This is the voice of angels throughout all of the gospel. And but the comfort is not just don't be afraid, but he was crucified, past tense. He is, present tense, risen. He is not here, right? The one who was crucified is risen. And as proof, what does he offer to these women who saw him be crucified and buried? Look at where he laid. He's not there. Right? So they have two things. They have a word and they have a sign, right? Now we see that the sign is insufficient for them. The word is insufficient for them due to unbelief of some sort, right? He also gives them another proof. He will see you again, right? As you go into Galilee, there you will see him as he said to you. So he's not leaving them with just this one proof. He'll continue to provide proofs to them. All this he had said back in Mark 14, I think. I can type it correctly. Is in the upper room. Jesus said to them, oh no, this is on the way to Mount of Olives. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. All right. Hence, go and tell the disciples, including Peter, right? So they ran away, trembling and amazed, and they don't tell anyone because they continue to be afraid, right? So I think this is important for us to hear, is that Jesus continues to come and appear to us, as we're going to hear throughout this week, for the sake of faith, knowing the weakness of our flesh and our unwillingness to hear, all right, according to the flesh. And then he makes us willing by the work of his word and his spirit. Jesus no longer rests in the tomb, for the Sabbath is over. He has risen as the Son of Righteousness, and as Adam and Eve ran away and attempted to hide their nakedness in the garden, so the young man, traditionally identified as Mark, ran away naked in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the risen Lord will clothe men who run away because they are naked in their sin. He offers the robes of his own righteousness to all the sons of men, such as Mark, that they might join him in heaven at the Father's right hand. Even though our bodies are placed in the tomb, we need not fear, for he has gone before us, and these bodies of ours will see him there. So the women are not an example to us. They're a counterexample for us, I suppose. All right, this week, we're going to go back to our hymn from Easter Sunday. It's appropriate for us to sing this throughout the week. This will assist us in, learning it well, so that each resurrection day, we can sing it with boldness and confidence, knowing it. All right, so this is one of the ways this daily prayer is helpful to introduce or reintroduce some of the classic hymns of antiquity of Lutheran and of our Lutheran tradition, so that we can sing it with boldness and confidence, right? And the only way you're going to learn it is if we put some effort in. So that's what we do here. All right. So let's sing it. By the way, I thought we sang it really well on Easter Sunday. So no criticism there. So there's your introduction to it again. One of the reasons why it's a little less than Dorian, which if you have a keyboard at home, you can actually play this by just start on a D and just play only white keys going up to the D. All right. All right. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us civil authorities who will serve with integrity and faithfulness, for the maintenance of justice, civil doers, and for the praise of all those who do well. Grant all Christians faith in your gracious providence, so that they might, or that we might honor the civil authorities and contribute to the common welfare of our nation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray this day for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray with those celebrating their birthday yesterday, Mindy and Jolene, today, Patty, Deb, Simone, and Sam. We also pray for the households of our church, Wayne and Mary, my family, Tara and Lindsay, Paul and Alan, Pauline, I should say. Pray for our catechumens. We pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Dennis, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, and the other Yench family, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, President Willie, and Phil. Pray for all our homebound. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially that of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. We also pray for continued strengthening of the ethnic ministries of the South Wisconsin District, especially amongst the Hmong, Hispanic, and French African efforts. We pray for those grieving, especially the family and friends of Merlin and of Dick. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.